Hello and welcome to episode 35 of A View from the Dugout. My name's Russ and I'm from Scotland Surrey. And I am joined by a man who in recent weeks has had more admissions than the Fountain of Youth Stadium in Hamilton. It's Chris from Surrey on a Budget. Chris, how are you, sir?
Wowzers. I'm assuming you mean incomings and outgoings from a gallery as opposed to admissions to me personally.
Well, I was actually thinking of a couple of Twitter admissions.
Oh, and what were those?
You don't recall them now, do you?
No, I have no idea what you're referencing whatsoever. Let's go.
There was two. So there was two. And the first one was your admission on St Johnston.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which we spoke about on the pod.
And, however, since that time, since my admission, they have started to plunge down the league a little. So I might retract that admission, but okay.
They'll be fine. And your second was on Lawrence Shankland, Sir Lawrence.
Indeed.
He's having a great season, isn't he?
Well, do you know what? He's actually getting some service. And the big question was, would he do it at the top flight? Because he hadn't. He didn't do it at United. And, you know, yeah, they'd kind of got rid of the service to him. And he was kind of starved from that, I suppose. However, at Hearts, they've got a bountiful amount of, supply to him. And he's getting the goals, 15 goals for the season. And I think Kyogo's goal was given as an own goal at the weekend. So they're still both on 15. However, I'd also like to note that Kevin Nisbet's on 5-5. So he's rapidly aiming to catch up. But yes, I was wrong on Shankland. And I'm glad I was wrong because obviously I picked him up in limited form. He's left the gallery again today. But I think he'll probably be back maybe with a red twinge to him.
Ooh. And it's so is this a new you for the new year? Obviously, happy new year to all our listeners.
Oh, absolutely happy new year to all our listeners. But I'm still the same block happy, mute happy kind of guy.
Grumpy old man.
I was actually speaking to somebody the other day and they were saying, how's your Twitter going? And I was like, oh, you just about 8,500 follows on there. I think it would be through 10,000 if it wasn't for the number of blocks that I've done. More effective blocking than some NFL linemen. But no, it's been good. I've actually enjoyed this little break that we had. I think we kind of needed it just to a wee bit of refreshment. Obviously, we had the World Cup that we discussed back in the December episode. Obviously, the final hadn't been played at that point, however, but we're glad that that's gone because we got back to some real football. And the both of us had been looking well ahead and planning those game weeks between Christmas, New Year and such. And that was obviously the Scottish leagues were all there and things like that. And it's actually been rather fruitful for the pair of us, as well as quite a few of our followers, because I did keep getting tagged in things saying, thanks, Scotland Surrey, thanks Surrey on the Budget for the tips and things like that, because there's a lot of guys winning prizes off the back of the Scottish League. So do you want to go over some of your recent results, Russ? And I'll happily go over some of mine.
Yeah, just like you say, we did a wee bit of planning. I had started to put probably half a shift of my entire gallery into the Scottish League and one or two sort of championship players in England. I wanted to see how it would do. I was very aware, like you say, that the period in December, sort of mid-December to the first week in January, that would be heavily reliant on Scottish or either Belgian and Turkish league. And thankfully, I had a little bit of a combination of the lot. So really where I look at it, probably drawing the line from, and you can obviously tell on your Surrey data because there's the national series cards are in your prizes as well, which have all been given away, certainly in my gallery. But it's actually quite good because it kind of shows you the timeline really sort of visibly. So for me, really, I think I had, when I moved into the Scottish cards, had a bit of early success, and it was based on the sort of the Newell Goss sort of combination, Chris Cadden as well. And I was still mixing the teams up a little bit there. I did have some other European cards from the other leagues, but I got 18th in under 23 rare, and won the Simon Adingra card. That's the lad that's from Brighton on loan at USG.
Yep.
Couldn't sell him for love nor money for about 0.2 And then obviously there was an injury, I think, a couple of weeks ago, and I got 0.37 or something for him a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
However, that was, it kind of made the prize what I was more expecting it, because I had initial disappointment that I think actually maybe mentioned on one of the last December podcasts. So that was a wee bit of a turning point with an 18th in under 23 rare. Followed that up with sixth place in Challenger Europe Super Rare. Now, it was a very light week. However, you know, you still have to buy the cards and put the cards in. I got 15th in Challenger Europe Rare, which won me a William Balakwisha of Standard Liège, which again was quite a fruitful sale. I think it was maybe around about 0.17, 0.18. I've won fourth place in under 23 rare, which was Yuya, I think, is it Suboy you pronounce him, at Vissel Kobe, the goalkeeper?
I'll go with
young goalkeeper. Yeah, you go with it. And then obviously just in the last couple of weeks, I have won Alejo Viles, which was 21st in under 23 rare. I was sixth in Challenger Europe Rare, which won me a Galeno card. And then I've won David Akintola, which is another blue card, for sixth in Super Rare. So 2 sixth place in Challenger Super Rares, and another, you know, sprinkling of maybe 4 or 5 top 15 places. It's really motivated me, and it possibly motivated me too much, as you know, by my Twitter poll.
Yeah, well, there is that. There is that. We'll come to that in a little moment. But it has been, it was fruitful this end as well. Funnily that you brought up Lauren Shankland de Russ, because he was part of a limited team which won me my Simon Adringa. I got him as a limited reward for a tier 2 for a 35th place finish. I sold him at the time for 0.0175, because again, at that point, he wasn't in the team. And then obviously he's got a run of games, and I noticed he actually doubled in value. But I was happy just to get back on the rewards trail, as you'd said there yourself. But it followed up the following weekend with a 15th place in Challenger Europe. And I was, I was actually a wee bit disappointed, because Sean Goss that week only scored about 30-odd points. And Mark O'Hara had scored 75, and if I'd have played him instead, you know, I'm then sitting in the top three. But I also had an 18th place in Challenger Europe the weekend before last there, and that won me a Croatian under 23. Well, actually, he's Kosovo, he plays in the Croatian league, under 23 striker. So I was very happy with that. Combined, it was over £300 that came out, and has gone on to paying off the holiday that I've mentioned before. So it's been quite fruitful that way. And then the weekend passed there, it was the higher ETH, which was the first time I've actually hit that for a little bit. But I was quite pleased to do that as well, because it's just getting back onto the winning ways after such a long gap with the World Cup. And obviously I had the disappointment with what happened with the Spanish leagues and such like. But to have been able to plan ahead and pick up these kind of players, it's really helped build the gallery. And I've had quite a lot of sales. Obviously, I know you've been doing quite a lot of restructuring work. But yeah, I had quite a bit of sales, and it's allowed me to really kind of build things back up again. And I'm quite pleased with where I'm at, and I'm in the middle of transitioning again, which I'll come to in a wee while. But before I go on to mine, obviously, you referenced the fact that you put up a Twitter poll, which you may or may not live to regret, but I think you're going to have some fun with it. Do you want to run the listeners through, anybody who hasn't actually seen the post?
Yeah, just in a nutshell, I decided that I would open up a Twitter poll on either trying to run in 2023 with a gallery that's made up entirely of Scottish League or Scottish Nationals. So that was going to be for basically my European. Now, that immediately meant that I would more than likely be dropping Champion Europe, which I've toyed with it, I've played with it, I've had the players for it, but I've never had really any success in it. So I wasn't too fussed, but it would mean that due to the fact that there's no Champion Europe goalkeeper at the moment that's Scottish, I knew that that would have to go. The exceptions to the rule were the fact that I would continue to play under-23s. I've spent 3 years building up a gallery there. But again, there is no Scottish under-23 keeper that's currently playing. And I thought it would be a wee bit mad to sell all those great cards especially when they're long-term assets in my eyes. So I'm running with obviously four, and you know I've got a European keeper in the goal at the moment for that. Unless that changes, you know, Angelini at Watford, and then there's Ross Monroe at, I think it's Ross County. There's a sprinkling of other guys that you never know. They might get some game time, but I knew it was going to be a tough ask, and I wasn't going to be putting in teams of four. MLS is exempt from the challenge. I'll not be recording anything that I do in the MLS or the Asia. Again, primarily due to the fact that there's not going to be keepers there, and there's maybe not even going to be five cards. You know, I don't think there's even one card at the moment in Asia. I've not really played it much. I know that was kind of more your forte when I was doing the MLS. You were doing the Asia, and then we did
Yeah.
a little bit of a swap, and then we swapped again. So I'm probably going to run. I'm going to try and run the whole year. I'm going to stick to it. It provides me sort of regular content for my Twitter. I don't have the time during the day, unfortunately, to do lots and lots of posts. I try and do as much as I can when I'm available, and it tends to be weekend heavy. But I thought for content-wise, it probably provides me quite a good challenge, and it could also be replicated, I guess, from a standing start for some guys, albeit I know that there's a keeper outlay for rare. But I'm using quite similar teams in limited as well, which basically means that anybody that's starting out in the game, and I know that we've obviously got lots of new players with the World Cup and things that sort of introduced the game. So yeah, we're going to see how it goes. It had a good first week. It's all documented on, I've got a, you know, the blog article side of the Scotland City website now, which will basically every week I'm going to put the results in there. I'll just do it week by week rather than actual game week, because I think you posted the perfect GIF for this coming game week of, was it 3-3-6?
Oh yeah, just desolate, absolutely nothing. Just for the record, it's scotlandsurrey.co.uk.
Yeah.
And if you scroll slightly down, you'll see Last Resort FC, our 2023 challenge. So you'll get all the blogging of everything there. And obviously you can follow Russ's account on Surrey to see what's coming and going. If you actually look at mine, the only one follower that, or the only one that I follow is Russ's one, because it's easy for me just to click, open it up and see what the comings and goings have been. But it's obviously meant you're now able to use your specialist area, shall we say,
Yeah.
of obviously looking at your own league. You've brought in some big players. Obviously, the aforementioned Shankland's obviously made an appearance. You've also got Kevin Nisbet in there, and you've got a few goalkeepers obviously made an appearance as well. So it's quite fun to look at and quite fun to watch, because I've even sent over a couple of things where I've said, "Oh, by the way, there's a cheap, like Lewis Ferguson had gone up,
Yeah.
and you went and picked him up instantly." And it was, you know, it's quite fun, because now if I do see a bargain and it's not something that interests me because maybe A, out my price range, or B, doesn't fit in with what I'm looking for, I can still pass it on and be like, "Hey, dude, if you're looking to pick up a player, here's such and such." You know, so it's been quite fun to keep an eye on there, because I think we both kind of change strategy quite often because it keeps the game interesting first and foremost. But obviously, if something's not working, you want to tweak it. And you want to try and find the best possible solution for your team, don't you? So, and with that, I mean, obviously, I found that interesting stat about how much it actually traded, and things like that, and it just brought to light how much more of a trader I would class myself as than winning cards. Obviously, I've won a few cards recently, but my biggest success has basically been through trading. So it just goes to show there's more than one way to play the game.
Yeah, definitely. I think, and that I think that's the beauty for this podcast, in the fact that I am obviously trying to chase the prizes more than the trading. Obviously, I've had a few changes just in general things. Working patterns a bit heavier now. You know, obviously, I'm doing other bits and bobs and things as well, in the background for sort of like I'm doing a wee digital project for someone, and then I'm you know doing the app stuff and things, etc. Still, but primarily, I'm trying to get as strong a team as possible and try to win cards to gain my profit. And I know that you've obviously, you know, one minute you're really busy, but then you maybe have a period of downtime due to your occupation, and that allows you then to do active trading and firing bids left, right, and centre. And I know that some you win, some you lose, but I suppose for the listener, they can actually look at the accounts. The objective is the same, both it's quite simply to make money and, you know, to make money, to withdraw money, to strengthen the gallery, to have cards in your gallery that you actually enjoy watching. You know, Motherwell Hibs was on the TV yesterday, and I was like, this is brilliant. I've got eight guys playing here, and it's live on Sky. I would normally, unless it was the 6-6 game, when Craig Brown was the manager back then, I wouldn't watch Motherwell Hibs very often, I wouldn't have thought.
I think it was quite good in the fact that that's actually only the second game of the season that hasn't involved one of the old firm on Sky Sports. So it was quite good from that aspect. Obviously, as we've discussed before, the old firm's what's going to sell the product, I suppose, with Sky. But I think being able to sit and watch a game, and do you know what? I ended up 3-2. It was a good game. Obviously, Kevin Nisbet with a hat trick for me, and I was delighted with that. I was really pleased to have picked him up a couple of weeks ago, right as he returned from injury, and he scored that same night. So I was very, very pleased with that. So yeah, it was good to sit and actually watch a game where you're like, you know, you're not looking at a goalkeeper that you've picked up that's playing against Celtic or Rangers, and you're thinking, just don't concede more than two, please. Like yesterday when I was watching Birigetti for United, and I was like, just no more than two. And he got man of the match for his team and everything, or he had the highest rating for his team and stuff. So, but yeah, it was quite good from that aspect. Like you say, I had my two Motherwell players on one side of it and all my Hibs on the other. But yeah, it was all good. But yeah, just to look at that point there, Russ, I've just brought up my stats, which I made public. There's a button that you have to tick on Surreal Data to make them public, but I've made it public now. So anybody that wants to go and have a look at that, search for me and then click on manager stats, you'll actually see the details. But total card profit and loss, Russ, which going by Surreal is your gaming yield, so that's all your prizes and your thresholds. And the great thing is the thresholds are actually at the level when you got them. So I've got it in pounds here. And obviously sometimes that threshold was like 60 quid, you know, like a year ago. And sometimes it was 20 quid when we first started. But all told, so it's your gaming yield plus your total sales minus your total purchases plus your gallery valuation, $8,500. And I started this game with £300. And it's quite bonkers to look at it that way and think that's over £8,000 worth of profit. Now, I think realised profit was just under $6,500. So that's what I've actually gained from profit and loss, you know, from what I've sold minus my purchases. And it's six and a half grand almost. Which is just wild when you think of it. And yeah, I spend a lot of time on it and what have you, but it's just a huge amount of money and it has allowed me to do a lot of good things. But if I was just playing for cards, I wouldn't have got anywhere near that because I wouldn't have been able to have invested enough. I wouldn't have been able to buy the players necessary. But we've both done a hell of a lot of scouting over the last, coming up for 2 years. And where we've been able to pick up really good players and move them in. Obviously, that's kind of a wee bit of where I'm at the moment, looking at changing some of the players over from the Scottish League now that all the other leagues are back or just about coming back. So if obviously I won the Croatian, well, Kosovo striker from the Croatian League player, which kind of spurred me to go pick up a few from there as well, because obviously there's going to be weeks where they're playing maybe midweek, and there's not a lot of other leagues, so all of a sudden I've got a team I could put in. So yeah, I'm very happy where the game's at the moment. I think everybody was glad when the World Cup was over, and I think everybody was glad at the weekend when most of the leagues were back. And obviously, I know that, you know, you mentioned the MLS and obviously Asia and things like that. You know, Mexico came back at the weekend, so there's a huge amount of leagues that are going to be back in a matter of weeks. And that's when it'll really open up, you know, the 5 a.m. looking at the J-League scores or watching games or whatever. And the MLS, you know, the game's been on overnight at 1 o'clock in the morning or what have you. And I think it just makes what this game's all about for me. It just makes it a lot more fun, doesn't it? And it's learning new teams. And I was actually starting to look at maybe pulling together some Asia players yesterday, but I realised I've been out of the loop for too long, so I might let the season start and then buy into some players as we go. But yeah, it's been quite fun. So thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm just really glad that we've kind of got back to some proper football, Russ. So Have you had any particular highlights over, you know, anything that you've changed, any players that you've picked up and you're like, I am absolutely over the moon, I've got them in the gallery now?
Well, obviously, it's been one of these things where I have had to revamp the gallery because I wouldn't have had a strong enough gallery with what I had. So that on that Twitter poll, I think I ran it till the end of the year. I think it was the 31st that actually ended on. Probably about 48 hours into the 72 in, I could see that it was like 75%, and I thought there won't be enough. In truth, there won't be enough people vote on the entire poll to switch it. So the writing was on the wall, and I thought, right. So I started to get active before the poll had even outcome. I would have probably signed some of the players anyway, to be truthful, but not probably them all. However, I was very aware that my gallery was, I'd like to say 50-50, but it probably wasn't. It was probably about 60-40 of European and America's cards. I've still got a sprinkling of Asia cards, Takahashi, Savio. I had the keeper that I won. So there's maybe four or five maybe cards in total. But in the main, I'm looking and going, right, I need to make some changes. A couple of highlights in relation to players that have come in. So like you said, you alerted me to a Lewis Ferguson that was, I think it was on the market for about 1.6, and I jumped online and there was actually two. There was one that was actually slightly cheaper. So I picked up Lewis Ferguson. He's doing quite well. After quite a slow start in Italy, he's doing quite well now. I was really pleased to get Ilber Ramadani at Aberdeen. I think he's a cracking player. I really do. And that pains me, obviously, being a Dundee United fan, to be praising Aberdeen too often, but he's a really good player. So I was really pleased with that. I pulled in Kevin Nisbet in a rare form, which again, now having him and Shankland will be quite key. Dylan Levitt's obviously been, I've had him a long time, but he's actually returned to form, which has been quite good. Just looking around the gallery, Lewis Morgan was one that I really wanted. Obviously, he doesn't play in the Scottish League, but he plays in the MLS. However, I'm looking and thinking, well, that's an all-star player that I've managed to acquire. A couple of new keepers. And just a point on that, obviously, because keepers is a minefield, as we know. You can see, just from my gallery, I've obviously had to make some changes myself, but I was in a position there that my Blues, Eriksen, obviously went from number one to number two. Viviano in Turkey has went from number one to number two at the moment. I also had Erwin Mulder, who was probably going to be contesting maybe on a sort of 40-60 basis for the Go Ahead Eagles shirt, who broke his finger. I had Jordi Shelf out, who was number two, that was going to be hopefully breaking through Ozegovic. So you know what? I've seen the good and the bad. I think you'll probably remember just very briefly, I had Louis Baratza, I had multiple copies of that card. I had two or three Bilal Bayezids last year, and I picked these guys up for 50, 70, £80 and sold them for hundreds. Sometimes these things happen and help you sort of progress your gallery. But also, just a wee point and just a wee well done. One of the sort of local guys to us I went to school with him in the 80s, and he was second in, I think it was Challenger Rare. Now, 5 weeks ago, he was sitting with Xander Clark as his main keeper. And Craig Gordon's obviously was in that goal before his horrendous leg break at Tannadice. And to be fair, Si put in a lot of effort in the summer. He brought in lots of Scottish cards. He bought in Xander Clark when it was rumoured that he could have been at United. He could have been at Stoke City. There was a few other clubs sort of hovering around his services. He went to Hearts. Must have been probably quite heartbreaking, having spent £400-£500 on a card at that point, to then look and go, do you know what? That's, 70% of my team's entire budget is now on the bench in number two. Now, the poor lad sat for, I don't know, I want to say about 16 game weeks with four playing, and probably in that sort of conundrum of do I put them in underdog, do I put them in all-star, do I try and scrape lower east, do I try and, And then all of a sudden, it just shows you things can change. Craig Gordon gets injured. He's all of a sudden got a number one keeper that he could have sold. Thankfully, he didn't. And before you know it, he's in second place. And he won a card that I think was around about £750, £800 in value, which has allowed him to buy another keeper. So the game changes all the time. And I know, and this isn't, there are two or three guys I know that have lost keepers. And there's a couple of guys on the Twitter as well that had, I think somebody had Craig Gordon and Viviano that they lost in the same week.
I did see that.
Yeah, you know what? You've just got to take it on the chin, don't lose hope. The game changes and can change in a heartbeat. And we've seen it, I think we've both seen it, positive and negative over the course. So I'm in the position, transition, lots of new cards. I'm still trying to work out who goes best with what. I'm still trying to make sure now that my strikers are avoiding my goalkeepers in certain teams. You've been there, you've done that before. Again, another positive, I think, for obviously the podcast coming back, and I probably should note and probably mention that we're back to being weekly, but just albeit with a new recording day.
Yeah, recording Monday now. And so the podcast, depending on the time we're able to record on Monday, because quite a lot of the time I get Monday off. I don't know that you're off Monday, so if we get it recorded early, we might get it out Monday night. Most of the time it'll be out by Tuesday morning, 7 a.m. as we did on the Thursday. But it kind of gets you a head start on the week, and you'll be able to, you know, take the information that we're given and maybe go and have a look at the games for that weekend and see what players you can pick up. Because there is going to obviously be a lot of upheaval with it being January. So, you know, there is that aspect where you're going to have to kind of keep an eye on your cards, whichever league you're playing in, you know, whether it be Scotland, whether it be Austria, whether it be Belgium or what have you. There's going to be a lot of moves. So you are going to have to keep on top of things. Obviously, we'll do our utmost with the Scottish transfers. I think we do that fairly, but you know, fairly succinctly between the two of us. You know, you'll retweet something, I'll see it. So and then I see something else, I'll retweet it. You know, so we're kind of all over most of the transfers, but we're going to go into some of those in a moment. But yeah, I agree. We've obviously harped on a lot about picking up the backups for goalkeepers. You know, where you, if you're buying the goalkeeper, it's best to try and have the backup there as well. But it has been a little bit of practice what we preach, and maybe not as we do at the moment, because I know I've run a little bit bare when it comes to the backup goalies at the moment, but just because of the price of some of them. Like, I was looking at Eric's, because obviously I picked up Birigiti at the same time as you. I suggested, would it be a good idea that I pick up Birigiti, and you swooped in like a vulture and robbed me of a £9 cheaper card. But I couldn't afford Eriksson. You know, I looked at it and I'm like, his price was still really high because he has been in the goal recently. But recent performances for Birigiti looks like the goalkeeper that United probably expected to get when they signed him. But then it's also been the same with David Marshall. I can't afford Dubrovsky, who's been out injured anyway. But even Schofield, I was looking at him the other day and he was creeping up to 60, 65, 70 quid. So it's, you know, you have to kind of weigh your risk, don't you? I mean, if that £500 goalkeeper is going to be 40%, 50%, 60% of your gallery. You know, I mentioned it on one of my videos I did recently, talking about the goalkeepers and talking about the backup and talking about the cover. You know, you don't use your car insurance as an example, because that's mandatory. That's a legal requirement. But you could have house insurance for 30 years and never make a single claim on that house insurance, because you've never needed to, because everything's been fine. But then that one day something goes horrifically wrong and the roof collapses or something like that, and you need that house insurance, it's there. And that's what this is. People look at it as dead money. I don't. It's an insurance policy. Because at the end of the day, if you sell your main goalkeeper, you just sell that one as well. It's, you know, it's an insurance policy. And if you know, some people don't insure their house because maybe they can't afford the premiums, that's a risk you're going to have to run, because if something goes wrong, you have to pay for those repairs. If your goalkeeper goes out, guess what? You're probably going to have to go and buy another one, and that's going to be a really costly situation. So that's where you harped on at me at the start with it, and it's absolutely true. Just try and cover your ass, I think, is the CYA. So yeah, it's, you know, cover that for yourself. But I think that's probably harped on enough on that, Russ, I think. But do you want to move on to some of the, obviously we're into January transfer window, speculation, incomings and outgoings. I believe you've got some notes team by team for the Scottish League.
I thought it would be good to just maybe if we cover each club. Mm-hmm. We've got some actual transfers. We've got a few players that are rumoured. And then I think probably if we maybe both give a wee bit of input into maybe positions that we think the clubs might look to invest in, or yeah, whether it's actual players or maybe just the positions, you know. So just as an example, obviously Aberdeen have been, we'll start with them obviously with the start of the alphabet, but Graham Shinney's back, no card obviously, but from Wigan on loan, would be great to see a card for him, bit of a midfield enforcer. And they've got, I think it's Patrick Mislovic, I think you pronounce it, an attacking midfielder from MSK Zelina that have both come into the club. There's been a young guy that's not in the game, a young guy, I think it's Aaron Reid, you call him, he's been loaned out the way. But I've got three or four names here just that I think possibly could be leaving the club, or could certainly be rumoured to, you know, potentially leave the club. We've got Conor Barron, that there's always been the rumours around just because of his young man ability and the fact that he's, you know, he's a great young player. Now, obviously they've just signed Shinney, and I can't see Ramadani not being selected. And then you've also got Ross McCrory, who can play in the sort of midfield as well. So I've got potential risks on Barron. Christian Ramirez, just basically it's been ongoing speculation for the best part of 6 months that he may depart Pittodrie. The other two that I've got sort of question marks over as to where they're going to play and how often they're going to play are Shaden Morris and the young guy, American Dante Polavara. So I don't know, what do you think on just on Aberdeen? Any sort of thoughts on that? And what do you think they need?
Well, I mean, just looking at what you just said there, Ramirez, obviously, by the start of the MLS season, there'll end up being speculation of him going back to America. He did get a surprise start over the new year, which I was like, oh, he's still alive. But yeah, I mean, he's one that could go back to the MLS or anywhere, to be perfectly honest. Majovsky has gone off the boil there, though, significantly off the boil. So does he maybe get a run of games just to give Majovsky that kind of thing? They might want to hold on to him. But again, I'm not sure if he's out of contract at the end of this season as well or not. But also the young lad, Dante Polvara, he was getting quite hyped at the end of last season. And again, this season, for whatever reason, Goodwin's just not using him. So again, is that going to be a case maybe looking to go away as well? The one position for Aberdeen that I think was one that I heard them talking about on the radio at the weekend was maybe the right back position. But that's one that Shinney can fill in at. Obviously, this weekend they had Ross McCrory moving over to right back. So obviously a bit of a utility player there as well. But would you rather have a permanent fixture maybe at right back there?
I think so.
Going forward, they've got they've got an abundance of forward play. There was also talk about maybe another centre half, maybe his cover, because you know if either Anthony Stewart or Liam Scales is out, it's usually Ross McCrory that they pull back into centre back. So maybe that could be another one to look at. One minor bit of speculation as well. A couple of weeks ago, Kel Roos was getting blamed for some of the goals that were going in. Obviously, he's had two clean sheets on the bounce there, one against Ross County and one against St Johnstone. So that's probably going to quell any rumours there. But there was a wee bit of talk, saying obviously they have got a very competent backup goalkeeper who was a first choice up to the end of last season, in Joe Lewis. So perhaps that's maybe an avenue that, you know, just wanted to keep an eye on. You know, if you are wanting to maybe speculate on a cheap backup goalkeeper who could potentially get a first number one jersey, as Russ gives me the thumbs up, the finger ups for the new Patreon that'll be coming. The thumbs up on that one, because I did mention it to him and all of a sudden a Joe Lewis appeared in the gallery. But yeah, that's wee things that, you know, just to keep an eye on there. But it's what money is available. And obviously Aberdeen spent heavily in the summer after they did get, you know, quite a bit of money in from like Lewis Ferguson and thing. If Conor Barron does leave, that would open up some finances. So again, a lot of the clubs are going to be wheeling and dealing, trying to get in what they can. But that's, yeah, Aberdeen, you know, they've started to regroup a little bit. They should be doing better than they are, in my opinion. But that could be said for a lot of the teams.
Yeah, I've got just as a footnote, and I will only make them footnotes, the two positions that I've got that I think Aberdeen need to strengthen is a centre-back, because obviously when David Bates left for Belgium, it left them short, like you say, and McCrory has been slotting in either centre-back or right-back. They do have Jaden Richardson, but he seems to have fallen out of favour there. He has an under-23 card in the game. But yeah, I've got centre-back and right-back as the areas for Aberdeen to address. So we'll move on to Celtic. So mm-hmm. Celtic have obviously been active. We've got Kobayashi coming in as a centre-back from Vissel Kobe. So that's coming as a permanent transfer. We've got Alistair Johnson from the MLS, so right-back that's coming from Montreal. Now, that was always going to probably come in to provide basically a straight shootout between him and Anthony Ralston, with the speculation on Juranovic leaving. And then we've got, I think he was actually the J-League Player of the Year last year, was he? You might know better than me, but Iwata, yeah. That's come from Marinos.
Yep.
Now, he's on loan with a, I believe it's on loan with a view to buy.
Yes, yeah, the same as the Maeda deal last year.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's basically just like a deferred payment almost, isn't it?
It is.
He's in a loan, but it's I think it's a compulsory buy.
Yeah. So there's three confirmed purchases. We've only got one, to my knowledge, confirmed exit at the moment. It's out on loan. It's young, the striker. I think it's Johnny Kenny, John Joe Kenny. He was out on loan actually at Queen's Park earlier in the season, and he's now gone over the Irish Sea to Shamrock Rovers on loan. That's the only one I've got here is confirmed, but I've got footnotes on possible departures, and you'll be able to just basically and a couple of arrivals, and you'll be able to just give your input on those. Jack Marcus is looking as though he's leaving. He's been rumoured with Denmark, Greece, Japan as possible destinations. Juranovic, I believe there's a £7-8 million deal over in Italy that's possibly looks as though it might go through. There's been rumours of Hajduk Split in for Stephen Welsh. However, Postecoglou says that he is a sort of key part of the squad still. And obviously, moving forward, I couldn't see that being a permanent one, given that Postecoglou wants to use him as part of the Scottish players that you need for the Champions League or the European competition registration. Daizen Maeda, which has been rumoured and linked with Southampton, and also the loan deal for Abeldgaard looks as though that could possibly be maybe coming to an end. I've not seen anything the last couple of days about that. And then the couple that I've got coming in, and again, I think you were mentioning it earlier, but Cho Gu-sung, who seems to be at a sort of tug-of-war between the old firm, who's a striker. And also I've seen a few sort of stronger rumours in the last couple of days about Kasper, I think is it Kasper Tenglet at Rosenborg, the sort Rosenborg, of striker cup yeah. winger. So I don't know if you've got anything to add on any of those.
No, I mean, Giacomakis to Urawa Reds was one of them that had been that I seen was mentioned, and I think they just sold the Danish lad that they had. Was it Janker? I think it was,
Janker.
Yeah, he's went to. I think it's Nagoya. He's went to from there. So that would be a hefty signing for the J League, because he is a goal scorer. I just don't know that he really fits in with Ange Postecoglou's style, maybe. But when you look at, you know, where do they need to strengthen? I mean, Jesus Christ, they've got the most depth in the entire league. So I don't think there's an awful lot of areas to strengthen. It'll be an interesting one just to see what else they add and how much further they can pull away, because I think obviously already they're looking ahead to next season and Champions League and having enough depth in every position that they could just, you know, they don't have to worry when they're rotating. Obviously, if he does go, and talking about Giacomakis, it would be another striker you're probably going to have to look at to play alongside or with Kyogo, in terms of, you know, who's in the squad and who's on the bench.
Yeah, totally agree. It's I was looking at all the squads a little bit earlier today, and obviously the sort of the register 30-man squads pretty much in Scottish football in the top flight. And I was looking at Celtic's, and there's like 28 first team players that, you know, and arguably all 28 of those would walk in to any other sort of Scottish side's first 11. So it's a strong squad, like you say. It's really based on just the fact they've already replaced the right back by the looks of things. They've got a centre-back that's come in. They've got a defensive midfielder. It'll only be probably like you, not quite like for like technically, but it'll be like for like positionally at Celtic. So moving on, my beloved Dundee United, we've had 5 young player loan departures. I think there is one with a card. Young Flynn Duffy has a card in the game these days. He's gone out on loan to Lower League Scotland, Stirling Albion. I don't think he's got a red cross against them yet in the game, but if you picked him up for, he's been going for somewhere between 7 and 10, 12 pounds as a rare. If you had picked him up, he won't be seeing any game time action, sadly, off the bench, and will be quite a hard flip, I would think, for now. There's obviously been 4 or 5 players that have had quite strong links in the last sort of 10 days. First and foremost, again, doesn't have a card, but young Rory McLeod, 16-year-old striker, has been heavily linked with Aston Villa and Newcastle for their English Premier League Development League squads. Tony Watt's been heavily linked with Salford City. Aziz Behic had a pretty solid World Cup and has been linked with Galatasaray. And then there's two that I've not seen a recent link on them, but Ryan Edwards, obviously the captain, was linked with Charlton a little bit earlier in the year. I'm just wondering if those rumours may return. And a player that I think, and I've not seen a single link on this, so this is purely just me taking a punt on a player that I think will leave United in this transfer window, is I think Ilmari Niskanen will leave, purely down to the fact that he just doesn't seem to be in the plans and has had next to no game time. As far as seeing things coming in, I've not really seen an awful lot on players coming in. Have you seen anything?
No, I think obviously the one that would be if Tony Watt and McLeod leave would be, obviously you're going to have a big gaping hole up top, whether it be backup or to challenge Fletcher. Funny with Rory McLeod, we were talking about it yesterday when we were watching the game, me and my son. He was at school with and in the same classes as Rory McLeod, so he was having a wee giggle just saying, can you imagine? Like, it's like subject of like £500,000 transfer. It's just wild to think at 16 that, you know, that's where it is. But we have spoke before about the United Academy and the, you know, my son's school that he was at, the both the Dundee players and Dundee United players go there because it's one of the regional performance centres. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with that one. I don't see too much. I mean, obviously, you never know, do you? I mean, realistically, yeah, you never know if loan deals get recalled or anything like that. But, yeah, the interesting one, obviously, Behic there as well. But that would be going to Galatasaray, so that's still a usable league. The Tony Watt one would be, I think it's League Two in England, so that's obviously going to be Red Cross Central. And I think a lot of people have seen that because Pavel Trader suddenly was inundated with them.
Including from Tony. Including from Tony himself. He put his own super rare, his own rare in, well, to get a limited kind of Yota. So
that tells you all you really need to know, doesn't it?
I would think so.
I think we're expecting to see probably that possibly concluded this week. So we'll wait and see what happens there. But yeah,
I almost forgot, and this one would maybe be of slight benefit to your club, and the fact that I did actually see a couple links with maybe Depo Akinyemi from Ayr United, who's got 15, I believe, for them this season. Your sort of league are currently obviously in that sort of 5-6 way battle, which is just immense to watch as a neutral, because obviously I don't wish your club any success as such in the same way that you don't wish mine, but it's quite interesting to watch just how tight that league is, you know. And I've often said, obviously, that the top 4 or 5 clubs, they should just have a 16 team Scottish top division and let these clubs actually develop and grow their fan bases and grow their finances and things over time. But yeah Akinyemi from Ayr, maybe if he was to join, that would obviously certainly weaken them in their promotion bid.
I think Ayr would be extraordinarily foolish to let the player that's basically taken them through to where they've been. You know, I know they've gone slightly off. You know, they had a couple of poor results. Obviously, they lost to us right before Christmas. But I think it's... if I'm in that position and I'm fighting to get into the top flight where I know I'm going to get more money than I'm probably going to get from the player, it's a gamble, isn't it? I mean, it's the whole thing we've just talked about with, you know, do you get your backup or do you not? You know, do you take the cash now in case you don't go up? it's a risk, isn't it? So
it's been 40 years since we've seen Air United in the top flight as well.
Yeah, so I mean, we just have to wait and see, I guess, eh? But it'll be interesting times. I think United have had a wee bit of a resurgence. I think it was before yesterday's game, it was 7 points out of nine since the break. Obviously, yeah. Yesterday was against Rangers, and a couple of maybe slight lapses in defence. But I thought, obviously, like we just mentioned, Birigetti did come right back into the. It has come right back into things. I think he's had a couple of clean sheets there as well. I think United will be all right. We'll see where it goes from there.
Okay. On to Hearts. I don't have an awful lot for Hearts. I've got three predictions on exits. I haven't seen any actual exits. Gary Mackay-Stevens, sort of injury, sort of ravage spell there. I'm not sure if he'll remain there beyond the window. He's obviously got quite a lot of competition there now as well for game time. Nielsen may, he may not want to lose any players from his squad, but if there was one sort of first teamer, I would say that he would be the most likely exit. I've also got two young lads that have had a little bit of game time. Connor Smith, I think, is one of the players. I think he may go out on loan. And there's a young lad, Pollock, that's in their first team as well. I think we'll maybe see a couple of loaned out and maybe a GMS departure. Obviously, coming in, you spotted a good one just before we came on air, and the fact that James Hill from Bournemouth, centre-back, which has been Hearts' sort of area of being plagued with injury, looks as though he's on his way, if he's not already just got that over the line tonight. He looks to have be coming up for more centre-back cover. And one of the things that I've picked up, and I've not managed to pick up his rare yet, but Benny Beningame was head and shoulders the best Optistat player before his injury for Hearts last season. Benny Beningame for me is must feel like a new signing for them when they get him back. I think he's edging closer and closer.
Yeah, but they do have an abundance in midfield now.
Yeah.
They've also got an abundance up top. it's really the defensive positions that I think Hearts are really going to need to work with. Obviously, they lost Craig Gordon in the goal, but, they did have Xander Clark sitting behind, and they've also got Ross Stewart there as well. But the centre-back, obviously, Kingsley and Halkett both come back from injury and both go back out with injury. Halkett, unfortunately, for the longer term. And they've also got Kio Mertzoglu, I think it is, to come back in midfield. Peter Heron is apparently due back from his concussion situation that's kept him out for months. Obviously, Robert Snodgrass has been sensational for them. It's a tough one for Hearts. I think, obviously, they're easily still, I still think they're the best of the rest with Old Firm. I still think if they didn't have the European football, they would be up there with Rangers. I genuinely do. Whether people scoff at that or not, I genuinely do think they would have been, had they not been playing Thursday, Sunday for 8-9 weeks. I do think they would have been closer. But it is what it is. They are where they are. They're third in the league again already. And they have got, the in-form striker in the country. Anything they bring in is just going to strengthen their case as it is. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see where else he chooses to strengthen. They've also got the young Japanese lad coming in who's had his approval and everything, all his paperwork was done.
The permit get done, yeah.
Yeah, seen that had been done, it'd been approved. So, but I think it still takes a wee bit of time for all the paperwork to be officially stamped as such. But
end of January maybe before we see him.
And to be honest, I think that's maybe one for the future. I don't necessarily think a guy who barely played for Vissel Kobe is going to suddenly, be dislodging Lauren Shankland. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, but it's there, it'd be an able backup and want to develop. So yeah, we'll see where that goes. I think we'll now be onto their City rivals where there is a fair bit of turmoil.
Indeed. So we've got confirmed departures. Stephen Bradley, the right midfielder, has left Hibs and went to Livingston, permanent. Bojang, the striker, again, there's a card in the game for him. He has returned to Rainbow. They've also got rid of young striker Joe Baldy, who's went to Arbroath permanently. There's the ongoing, when is he leaving? Ryan Porteous saga, which I believe it's Udinese, Watford, a couple other clubs, and I'm guessing obviously Udinese and Watford, I believe, are still owned by the same people.
Same club, yeah. It's the same company. But I think either way, I think he's played his last game for Hibs.
I think so too now, yeah, I believe so. I've also got Jake Doyle-Hayes, who was the subject of a Forest Green Rovers transfer bid, who looks as though he could be departing, and three that I think will leave. I've not seen anything concrete on them, but I do think now that you mentioned them earlier, Kevin Dabrowski back fit now, I think we'll see Ryan Schofield's loan. I don't see there's a need for it anymore, so I would think that it would be Marshall number one, Dabrowski number two. So I think the Schofield loan will end. I think Dimitri Mitchell hasn't quite worked out. He's been obviously at Hearts and Hibs. But I think he will leave. He's also in the game. There is a card for him.
I did see a lot of the fans actually comment on the fact they actually paid money for him.
Yeah, I know.
And he's just really not worked out. So they were like, I can't believe we actually paid funds for him. So yeah, I think that'll be an exit. Yeah.
The problem I think that he's also got is the fact that obviously on the left-hand side, they went from Josh Doig to, you know, there's Cabraja and Lewis Stevenson's been playing there. Lewis Stevenson obviously is kind of like a bit of a club legend there. They've been there a long time. So I can't see where Mitchell kind of gets the game time, because they've obviously, Cabraja is a good player. He's been a little bit out of form, but, you know, going by the Opta stats, racing up until November, you know, Cabraja was one of the sort of the top 25 players up on the Opta scores in the whole league. So I can't see how Mitchell dislodges either him and Stevenson. The final one I've got is, I don't know if you remember, but when Melkerson signed, there was another young player that arrived with him, a young lad called Haig, and he's a Norwegian midfielder. I think he'll probably go out on loan or something like that. I don't think there's a card in the game for him. I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, that's what I think will probably happen at Hibs. Any other thoughts on incomings, maybe?
They'll need another centre-back at least, because that'll be them basically Bashiri and Hanlon as their main two. I think we've seen yesterday, I mean, the first goal for Motherwell was just a ball over the top. Simple ball over the top, and it beat them both. And the second goal, again, was a wee bit scrappy as well. So I think they need a bit of help. I think they would be in a terribly worse position if they didn't have David Marshall there. One of his saves yesterday, they had a whole ruck of bodies and he seen the ball at the last minute and down to the bottom corner, rolling back the years. And they'd be in a much worse position if they didn't have David Marshall there. I think he's one of their keys. Nisbet coming back's obviously been massive there as well. So I think they are going to need to strengthen. One player that I saw yesterday have a really good game, in my opinion. And again, I talk about rolling back the years, Aidan McGeady, who does have fairly cheap cards in the game.
He was excellent yesterday.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he set up the first one for Nisbet where he had the freedom of the Fir Park box, as all the Motherwell defenders decided, nah, he's not going to score. It'll be interesting to see where the players come in for Hibs. Lee Johnson's obviously extremely unhappy. Had they lost yesterday, he was already on a sugar leap egg, as they say. But would Hibs be as rash to sack another manager this quickly? If they were down in 10th or 11th, I think they would. So I think he's on a tight leash. So his signings are going to be absolutely key, whoever he brings in.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be based on obviously Porteous going out and there being some sort of fee attached to that, and then it'll be on that. I would think it'll be kind of, you know, maybe not even one out, one in. It might be two out, one in. But like you say, Lee Johnson, had he lost yesterday, I think he probably would have been out of a job.
Just on that same point, I think Jim Goodwin at Aberdeen was also in a very similar vein. Their best result up until the weekend was a 0-0 with Ross County, who are rock bottom of the league, cast adrift now. And that was their best result in weeks. So again, sugarly peg, we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, they're fourth in the league, so it's hard to say that. But Hibs, Aberdeen, Motherwell, various teams that just really should be doing better with what they've got. You look back to the managers. So yeah, I think that'll be interesting to see where that goes in the coming month.
Okay, quickly move on to Kelly. I've got Kyle Vassell has checked in from the, not quite the MLS, but the, I think it was the USL, San Diego he joined from. So a new striker there. Kyle Lafferty has served the last of his long-term suspension. So that was the last game there just at the weekend. And I did notice, and there's a card in the game for this one, that the right back that was on loan at Partick, Lee Hodgson, used to be at St Mirren, he has returned. He was at Rangers as well briefly, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Lee Hodgson has returned to Kilmarnock as well. Whether he's loaned out again, sold, I'm not sure. I genuinely haven't seen anything, but I did see that he'd returned. A couple of exits. Deji Satona, the left winger that we never ever seen the light of day, has returned to Nice in France. I'm guessing for their development team and not their first team. Dylan McGowan, Ryan McGowan's younger brother, he has joined Hamilton, and they've got three or four players that the basically youth players that aren't in the game that they've released, obviously maybe to free up some wages. And I've also seen a few rumours around Ollie Shaw, the striker, and Brad Lyons, who I believe is maybe heading back to Northern Ireland. But apart from that, not much else on Kelly.
Yeah, do you know what? If I'm going to be honest, Kelly are a team that I probably don't pay a huge amount of attention to. I think they're one of the probably one of the less sexy teams in the league, if you want to look at it that way. But yeah, I think they're going to need to strengthen. They're one of the teams that are in trouble. I think long term, it's probably going to be them and Ross County. One in the playoff and one going down. I think the games between the two of them are probably going to be what decides that. I think the other teams are strong enough to avoid that. But we'll just have to wait and see again, Russ. The goalkeeper situation, obviously Sam Walker took over again from Kane Hemming. Sam Walker being, you know, Kilmarnock's own player versus a loan. I did see some of the fans calling for Zach Hemming to be back in the goal. So that could be one to watch there as well, I suppose. But yeah,
I'm glad you brought Zach Hemming in the goal there, considering you had Kane Hemming in the goal. That's your Dundee love child you're thinking of.
Where did
of.
I say Kane Hemming? I said Zach Hemming.
About 30 seconds ago.
I could have sworn I said Zach Hemming.
You said Kane.
Kane Hemming did score at the weekend for his...
It's
for
a new
his
year, side. It's a new you.
Ah, you know what? It's
you're
it's
tired, long. I know. We'll move to on to Livingston.
It's a long day. Let's go to Livy. Let's go to Davey.
Let's go to Livy. So, obviously, and we've just previously mentioned, Bradley's coming from Hibs, a bit of midfield cover. They, to my knowledge, have another centre-back coming in that they're awaiting a permit from. He's not in the game. So I've seen a centre-back, his name completely escapes me at the moment. I can't see him being like a first choice. I think this is like a backup option. Apart from that, I've not seen anything else for Livy coming in. They have three players that I think will leave in this window. Again, this is my hunch as opposed to anything concrete. Ismael Gonsalves, he's a man of many clubs. He doesn't hang around long if he's not getting game time. He's only had a sprinkling of games at Livy. I genuinely think he will be out the door before the 31st January. Ivan Konilov has been had a few minor links. So that's the sort of backup goalkeeper that did get a few games when Shamal George was injured. And I know that Jack Hamilton got a game as well, but I think Konovalov maybe may depart the Tony Macaroni. And the other one, and again, it's just I don't think it's worked out. He may be given a little bit more time or put out on loan, but the lad Philip Kankar that came over from, I think it was Australia or New Zealand, those are the three that I think will depart. Obviously, two of those have cards. Any thoughts on Livy?
Joel Nubley. I think quite possibly could depart this window. Obviously, there was a fair bit of speculation around clubs looking at him, but one of them was Hearts, and obviously Hearts are looking at, you know, possibly having obviously a couple of boys in that position. So maybe not for them. However, he's obviously been quote unquote injured and missed some games. He was back on the bench for one, and then back off of it again. And Bruce Anderson got his chance and he took two goals at the weekend there. So I was happy to have picked him back up as well just before he got his goals. I think he, if he gets a decent run in the team, we've said that before, he's a goal scorer, probably more so than Joel Nubley is. So we'll see where they go. If anything, Livy will probably bring in players either from the lower leagues or places we've never heard of. They're a club that do wheel and deal, and they've done, they punch above their weight so much. You know, when you look at the fan base, and you know, the lack thereof, but they punch above their weight so much. So whoever they bring in will be one worth probably watching, Russ, if I'm being honest. So we'll see where they go.
Yeah, okay. On to Motherwell. We have a confirmed arrival of Shane Blaney, centre-back from Sligo Rovers, that they actually played them in the UEFA Cup qualifying rounds earlier on. So I'm guessing that's where the scouting was done for that.
Aging yourself there, Russ.
Yeah.
The UEFA Cup.
Yeah, well, Europa League, yeah. Same thing, UEFA Cup.
If you're going to pull me up for Kane Hemming, I'm pulling you up.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Fucking Intertoto next.
I'm tired. So he's a confirmed arrival. Louis Molt, the striker, he was a God Motherwell poster boy a few years ago. This loan spell from Burton Albion's not worked out. He's returned. A couple of things on Twitter, obviously thanking the fans, etc., for the opportunity and things. It's not been a fairy tale return. So he's headed back south. And Scott Fox has come back from his loan spell, and then he has been released, I'm guessing just so that he can basically finish his career with some game time somewhere at a lower level. A couple of things I've got here. I think they need another striker to help Van Veen. I think they need a left back. The Matt Penny situation hasn't quite been finalised yet. He's been on loan from Ipswich. I actually left him out of my starting 11 at the weekend there because I hadn't seen anything come through regarding paperwork, so I actually thought he was ineligible. But I believe it's the 13th that he's loan deal, 13th of January, which is slightly unusual, but never mind. Finer details, managed to finally get them. But I do think that we will see two departures from Motherwell again. Just in the way that the Scottish clubs do, that you know, they all have to free up wages to bring players in, which basically sometimes means moving players on that are in contract. And I think Josh Morris, who has spent most of his career in English lower leagues, and does very well when he's playing in League 2 and League 1 in England. He scores lots of goals. I knew about him before he came up to Motherwell from a fantasy league sort of experience. But I think he will go, and I think it could be the end of the line for Bevis Mugabe as well, who just hasn't featured. I know he's been injured, and I know he's had some other things going on, but I don't know if Bevis Mugabe will still be at Fir Park come February. Any thoughts?
I think they need something and quick, because obviously they fell right down the league and are tied with United for the playoff spot at the moment, which, you know, they weren't doing that badly. I think their home record was one of the worst in the league. I don't know. They need an overhaul, and I think it starts. Unfortunately, Motherwell have done what Dundee did, where they've appointed maybe with the heart rather than the head when it came to their new manager at the start of the season. Where they took Stevie Hamill, and it's not working. Now, whether he's needing time to bring his own players in, but I don't know. It just doesn't seem to be working for me. And that's partly why today, well, over the last 24 hours, Kevin Van Veen left my gallery and so did Sean Goss, because I'm a wee bit worried about them, if I'm being honest. They're not performing well now. Hopefully now that I've sold them, they can maybe make a wee bit of a rally. I still think probably Ross County and Kilmarnock will be the bottom two, but this league's so tight. I mean, from 11th to about 5th, I think, there's less than double-digit points. So it's still wide open, but Motherwell needs something, and they need something quick. They need some firepower to help Van Veen. He's left all alone. He's dropping back in, and when your striker starts to drop back in, there's nobody there beyond him. And it'll be interesting to see who and what they do. And I think they're going to need to do it quick. They're a well-run club, and they really are. And all their community stuff they do and everything like that. That's one of the big reasons I don't want to see them in trouble. I've got no affiliation with them other than the fact that I just think a lot of the stuff they do in their community and the homeless stuff that they, you know, they were helping give, you know, meals for people, the third kit they brought out, and it's got the Samaritans number and all the different mental health charity things. All these kind of things go together to make a good family club, and I don't want to see them in trouble. So yeah, I'd like to see them, you know, make a couple of signings and get themselves out of trouble.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. A lot of great points there, Chris. Just on that, you know, Motherwell are a top flight club in Scotland. Simple as that. should always be in that sort of top 12 teams in the country. And like you say, they've got a relatively sort of good sort of history pedigree. You know, they've contested cup finals. It is a little while now, you know, since they were up at sort of the top three of the sort of the league or whatever. But on their day, they're a good side, and they've brought through some cracking youngsters over the year. Obviously, James McFadden being the favourite for many in Scotland. But we'll move on to Rangers. Now, we could actually arguably, let's be honest, we could actually arguably say that the entire squad needs an overhaul. However, we don't want to be here till 10 o'clock tonight. I've got a couple of rumours. I've seen obviously the Todd Cantwell and Tom Davies of Everton have been linked with moves to Ibrox. Cantwell has a card in the game. I picked up the limited. I've not been able to get his rare. I think there's only 8 of them in total on them that have been released. So I've seen those as possible arrivals. Departures, I've seen links and certain stories regarding Glenn Kamara, Yilmaz returning to Turkey, possibly on loan. I've seen Sands possibly having his loan cancelled from New York because they don't probably need him. And then obviously there's the ever ongoing pending Morelos and Kent contractual situations that is it now time for Rangers to cash in? So that's what I've got for Rangers.
I think the time for Rangers to cash in on Morelos has passed.
Definitely.
I think they'll be lucky to get a tenth of what they were touting a couple of seasons ago, or maybe even last summer. You've seen it in the Old Firm game, grossly overweight. I'm sorry to say that, not body shaming, but when you're wearing a tight top, it's very obvious if you're not in shape. And his performances go with that. No threat whatsoever other than to his own goal. I don't think that's one that to worry about. But I think obviously Kamar Roof, who does have cards in the game, has come back into the squad at the weekend there. Michael Beale said Kamar Roof about 20 times in his pre-match interview when he was talking about Colak and Kamar Roof coming back in. He kept saying it over and over again, and it was noticeable for some reason. I think they probably will need, if he goes, they'll need somebody else to come in for his place. And they've had a couple of injuries. They do have a lot of ageing players. You can look at Scott Arfield, Stephen Davis, who's out injured. Goalkeeper situation, Alan McGregor, and they've obviously rotated multiple times. Now John McLaughlin was back in again. They've also got the young lad there, but he never sees the light of day, but seems to constantly get touted with the Scotland number one when he doesn't play club football. I think there's a lot there. They are light years away from Celtic. Let's be honest. Yeah, there was a 2-2 there. But if you look at the two squads together on paper, it's not even close. I think you'd be hard pushed to tell me a Rangers player that would get in that Celtic team. And I've got no affiliation to either team. I could care less about either. But I'm just being honest. I don't think there's a single name on that sheet you could tell me that would be in the Celtic team. So I think there's a lot of work needing done there. And Michael Beale has a massive, massive job on his hand. One player I'd maybe like him to go and have a look at was his old, one of my old friends, Kenny Powell, because he seemed to be doing quite a good job for him at QPR. So would he consider a joint up? I don't know. There's a lot of players that they're going to need to have a look at a lot of positions. So,
and
most of them are not in the game, to be honest. So,
yeah, that's a good shout on Kenny Powell. You just never know, do you?
I think
like you say, that Rangers squad. I was looking at an article, and I'll just very briefly touch on it, but they were looking at an article that when one of Rangers' Champions League squads this season, and 4 years ago when they were in the Champions League, there were only 3, I think, differences in the sort of the first 16, 17 players, which is absolutely bonkers. Like you say, very few. You would look at an Old Firm select as a neutral, as we both are, and I think really realistically, maybe Peak Goldson would maybe get in the defence. Maybe Peak James Tavernier. But apart from that, maybe, you know, Colak had started the season really, really well and has been quite unlucky with injuries. But barring that, you've got you know, Rangers were getting touted, you know, sort of 15 million they were wanting for Kent. They were wanting round about 12 to 18 for Morelos, 33 million for the two. I genuinely think that Ryan Kent could move for maybe something like £5 million now, and Morelos could, you could honestly see him moving for like £1.5 million now. That's, you know, that's how much the stock has fallen, I would say, on both.
Yeah, I do you know what? I don't personally get the hype with Ryan Kent either. He's got pace. I don't see much beyond that. I really, really don't. And I'm being 100% honest. I don't see much beyond that. I'm going to offend every Rangers fan that loves him and has posters of him, but I don't really care. I don't see it. He's playing against guys like, no offense to them, like Connor Randall and things like that. Go and do it in a league where you're playing against top players every week, and it won't happen. It won't. Mm-hmm. He'll be a bench warmer, and if he went to the Premier League, he'd be a bench warmer. Championship, and that even that would be a push, in my opinion. He's playing where he is because of his pace. That's literally it. But anyway, let's move on before I find any other Rangers fans.
Okay, Ross County, and I've got the least amount written for all the clubs here. So I think they need a centre back, because obviously Keith Watson's been in there covering when Jack Baldwin's been out. And Keith Watson, primarily, I would say, you know, has been more of a right back through his career. I know that he can play centre back, and he obviously with age he's managed to play it quite comfortably with his sort of reading of the game and things. But I've got, they need a centre back. I've not seen any rumours for players in. I've not seen any rumours for players out, other than the fact that they let two youths go out on loan to sort of Highland League club. Obviously, that's based on where Dingwall is, which is north of Inverness, and the location, it's just so, you know, so remote in Scotland. However, there are two players that I think could depart from Ross County. Jordi Hawula being one of them. He's not really managed to dislodge Jordan White as the main striker there. And the other one is young guy, and I think he has a card in the game, called Adam McKinnon. I think he will possibly depart to sort of championship level football, maybe even League One for maybe one of the challengers, maybe, you know, something along the lines of Dunfermline, Edinburgh, Falkirk, something like that level. That's all I've got for Ross County.
Yeah, not a lot to add. I mean, they need a lot. They do need a lot. They're a team that tends to do a lot of loans more than anything else, but they do need a lot of help. Two names that I did see, but I think it was more of a fan-based post rather than anything. Maybe it's more, well, wasn't maybe, it was purely speculation. One was one of their star players from last season, Joseph Hungbo, who they had on loan from Watford. And there was speculation that maybe they would try and get him back on loan again. And the other one was a name you've mentioned earlier that maybe leave, you thought maybe leave Hearts, and that was Mackay Stephen. And that was, again, it was purely on a fan post. Take for that what you will. It probably has nothing behind it.
Yeah, he's from Thurso. Yeah,
he's from GMS, up that neck of the woods. Yeah. So that was what they said. Maybe they could, because I think he's going to be hard pushed to get into that Hearts team. So, you know, and I think both those would be loan deals. But I just had a quick look. Hungbo's limited is coming in at £1. And his rares coming in about £22. So if he did want to take a speculative punt, it's not the world's worst. But yeah, that's ones that I'm not going to pick them up, put it that way. But they could be speculative ones for folk. But they need a lot of help, and they need it quick.
Sure. One final thing. So I'll make an admission now. So obviously, Ross Laidlaw has signed a new long-term contract as number one. Has not been dislodged this season, so I am wrong on all accounts. So apologies to all Staggies fans out there. He's played better than, you know, than I expected. I did think that he genuinely would lose the shirt at the earliest opportunity as soon as they shipped. I think it was when they shipped five that I thought he's a way to lose the shirt, and he didn't. But he has now, they've sent back the loan keeper. Was it Jake Eastwood?
Eastwood, yeah, he's gone back on it. So it's just him and Monroe now. But yeah, you're right. But my feeling was when he didn't get dislodged after the 5-0, he wasn't going to get dislodged now.
Agreed.
And he's the better keeper. I mean, the boy Eastwood had played, I think it was like 13 career games. Yeah. And, you know, Monroe, they brought him in for a game and what have you. But yeah, I mean, I still don't have any regrets about selling him back at the start of the season, because obviously I invested elsewhere and things like that. But yeah, his scores are pretty decent. He's in the 50s, I think, maybe about 50 for his average. But the big thing hanging over him is the fact he's just signed that new deal, and they're rock bottom of the league. So yeah,
he will play championship football next season if they go down. Yeah, yeah.
More than likely.
Okay. On to St Johnston. Again, very limited notes here. Not seen anything in particular in the sort of local sort of Tayside press in relation to them. I do think they need a centre back, purely based on Alex Mitchell, that's been playing quite a lot of games for them, is on loan still. So unless they're deciding to or trying to make that deal permanent, and I have no idea around the sort of the money around what Alex Mitchell would be on at his parent club or anything. So unless they make that permanent, I would think that they will need some sort of centre back cover just due to the formation that they play. And I've also got three players that I think will depart this window, again, just to make room for something that Callum Davison can bring in to appease the fans. And the three that I think will depart are Michael O'Halloran, who's just been injury-plagued and just not had a run at St Johnston. It's not really worked out. I think Theo Baer may move on, again, purely speculative. And they've got another player, an Irish lad called John Mahon, who, again, he's just not seen any game time. So that's the three players that I think will depart. Any thoughts on that, Chris?
One that I seen a wee bit of speculation just before we got together tonight was the goalkeeper, Remy Matthews, is obviously on loan from Crystal Palace. And Crystal Palace have just loaned Jack Butland to Man United. So there was a wee bit of speculation whether they might recall him from loan and head back south, you know, to be there as cover. I think it's the number three position it would probably be. He's said he's happy where he is because obviously he's playing football. Whether he would be against going back, but he might not have the say in that matter, to be perfectly honest. So that could leave open, you know, St Johnston possibly needing a goalkeeper again. And, you know, that could be the merry-go-round again, because we've discussed Parrish has stepped in a couple of times and done not bad for them. But on a team on the slide, they could do with, you know, having a top goalkeeper. So I think, you know, had they not had Xander Clark last season, it would have been them that were down in Dundee in the playoffs. That's just unfortunately how it was.
Surely Scott Bain can go there. Surely.
That is the name that was in my head, because he has literally wasted a career.
Completely.
You know, but that's money. That's what money, you know, money does that. And then, you know, he wasted a career. He was in the Scotland setup at the end of his Dundee days. Played in Mexico against Peru or something like that, I think it was, before one of the World Cups or something. If St Johnston were, I mean, we spoke about that at the start of the season, potentially was he one that could have maybe gone there, but he's never gone anywhere, but who knows?
I'll tell you what I'd like. Carl Johan Eriksson to head there on loan for the 6 months of the season.
Of course you would.
Just so that my super rare gets a game.
So you can get him sold.
So I can get him sold.
Let's be honest.
Somebody buy him. Anyone. So finally, we move on to the other Saints, St Mirren. They have a confirmed signing in centre-back Richard Taylor, who has come across the water from Waterford United down in the south of Ireland. And I've got here that they've loaned out Jay Henderson. I think he's got a red cross against him now. He's in the game and he's on loan at Inverness Cali for the remainder of the season. Ethan Erhahon has been, is he going, is he not going? I believe he's turned down Forest Green Rovers. Yeah, I know that they
I think Forest Green walked away because he wasn't committing.
Yeah.
So he'd kind of walked away from it. But there was it Oxford, I want to say?
There was another English club, League One club.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't a championship. So that would still be a red cross. However, he could also now stay for the season, but we've still got three and a bit weeks of the transfer window. So one to keep an eye on. Because if he does stay, his price is very handsome at the moment. I think it was about 40, 45 quid.
Yeah.
So
he's under 23.
Yeah. I think that's one worth keeping an eye on. I'm just having a quick look at his price just now, just to get an idea. But if he stays, you know, that's great. If he doesn't, it opens up other avenues for the likes of Greg Kilty, one that could benefit from him leaving. Obviously, they've had his prices bounced back up again, so maybe people are more confident he's staying because he was down at 45 quid, but now he's sitting at 80. Oh, so, right, okay. Yeah, maybe people are feeling a bit more confident that he's going to stay now. But obviously, they've got Mark O'Hara there as well. Maybe a wee bit more firepower. I've seen Ayunga had missed a couple of games there. I don't know if that's been an injury. I didn't really pay enough attention. So, but yes, they've defied the odds as well. Pushing for top six football as well. Very hard to beat at home. They've beat Celtic at home this season. You know, they're a very, very good team there. So yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see what else they bring in just to push on that last few months.
Do you think I've got another two possible departures that I think might happen? It's not based on anything, not seen anything, but Ryan Flynn, I think, will possibly go lower league. He's been kind of used very sparingly and pretty much as cover. I could see him sort of championship football. You'd also see quite regularly with St Mirren and Morton, Ayr United, these kind of clubs sort of exchanging players regularly, even Kilmarnock as well to an extent, just pretty much because of the geolocation of where they're all based. And the one that I think there's going to be an emotional return for the Wolf, Eamon Brophy, to Kelly. But I think it basically revolves around maybe Ollie Shaw moving on. They're not going to want, they've just signed Kyle Vassell, obviously. They've just got Kyle Lafferty back. Could we see Ollie Shaw depart and go lower league again? Because he has been out on loan and stuff, lower league. And maybe Innes Cameron go out on loan just so that he can get in amongst the goals. I know he's been playing, but he's obviously been playing due to shortages. And Christian Doidge is obviously in and out, but fitness issues. So that's my tip there. I'm just going to purely speculative, Brophy to return to Kelly in the window.
Yeah, well, I mean, did he not get a game for Scotland at one point?
He did indeed. Steve Clark,
unbelievable. But yes, so I don't have anything else to add to them. To be honest, I think it's a fairly thorough. This is a very, very long episode. I'm very conscious that I've left a family downstairs for this length of time. But you know, I think it was important we got back to things and got, you know, right back in depth. It's only our second episode in 2 months, but that's us back to the weekly schedule. As we say, it's going to be a changed date. Episodes will come out on Tuesday, if not Monday night. So we will make a big hoopla about that on Twitter. If you've not followed us on Twitter, obviously we've got the Twitter account for the podcast at AVFTDpod. You can follow us at Scotland Surreal, and you can follow myself at Surreal on a Budget. We'll try to keep you abreast of as much of the transfer speculation and news as we see it. But I don't have anything else to add other than, you know, I hope everybody did have a safe, happy new year and a good Christmas, and are obviously looking forward to cracking on with 2023, Russ.
Absolutely. So thanks once again for listening, and we'll see you all next week.
Take care, guys.